All right. Welcome, everyone. Hopefully in the right workshop is talk to strangers. So if you want to run out the door, now is your chance. But I'm really glad that you came today. You're very brave. And I'm really excited to have so many strangers to me in the room. But I want to start by telling you a story. So the year was 2010. And I was a freshman at Kutztown University. Is anyone else out there at Kutztown? Okay, a small contingent. All right. Well, spring break that year found me sitting on a recliner chair in my living room, eating straight out of a bag of animal crackers while dipping them in a tub of vanilla icing. This is like imprinted in my memory. And if I was honest, I was eating my feelings of regret that I did not go on the Disciple Maker spring break trip that year. So you might be wondering, well, why didn't I go? Why am I sitting at home eating junk food? Because I was too scared to be around people that I didn't know well for a whole week. That thought was terrifying. So I stayed home and I ate lots of unhealthy snacks, if I'm honest. But fast forward to today, and I can truly say that meeting new people is a source of joy for me. It's probably one of my favorite things in life. So what changed from 2010 till now? I'm still an introvert. I still get nervous talking to new people. I am not naturally bold. But this morning, I want to share with you a key truth that God used to help change my perspective on meeting new people. And it's this. This is the key point for the whole workshop. You were designed to talk to strangers. So that's right. You were designed to talk to strangers. So hopefully by now, like I mentioned earlier, you caught on. This is the workshop, Talk to Strangers, the unlikely way to honor God and improve your mental health. My name is Maria Noyes. I work on the Mason-Dixon team for Disciple Makers. And you will find the outline and scriptures for this workshop on pages 24 to 25. You should have also received a card with a prayer on it when you sat down. If you didn't, I think I have one left. So let me know. And I'm guessing in a group this size, for some of you here today, I actually kind of met someone up front who's kind of like this. Talking to new people is a joy. Maybe you're extroverted. Maybe talking to new people comes easily for you. But I'm guessing that if you chose this breakout, probably for most of you, you don't always enjoy talking to new people, right? Maybe you're fearful of what the other person's going to think of you. Maybe you don't know how to start a conversation with a stranger. Maybe you just lack awareness of the people around you. Well, wherever you're at on the spectrum, you were designed to talk to strangers. And I hope to convince you of this today by talking about the obstacles that we face to living out our design, the design that we're given by God, and then I want to end with some practical ways that you can start conversations. So in this workshop, I'll make it pretty interactive as we go along. Okay, so I'm going to pray and then we'll dive in. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come before you, and Jesus, we're so thankful that you pursued us. You pursued us who were strangers and brought us into your family, Jesus. And I pray today that you would grow us to have that same love and vision and grace for the people around us, Lord. We're not usually good at this in our flesh, Jesus. It doesn't come naturally for most of us to talk to new people. So we really need your help. We need you to help us grow. We need your Spirit's power to work in us. So we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, let's take a look at point one, the obstacles you face. And I'm going to make this point almost totally interactive. I want to hear from you guys, what makes it hard to talk to new people? I have two staff mic runners. So if you have an answer to that, what makes it hard to talk to new people, raise your hand and they'll be around to give you a mic. If you can talk into the mic, that'll be great because this is recorded so people can hear you. So yeah, just throw it out there. What makes it hard to talk to new people? Yeah, there's someone up here.
Not always knowing what to say.
Yeah, not knowing what to say, the uncertainty. How am I going to talk to them? Yeah, that's a big one.
I don't know if they want to talk to me, so like I'll be bothering them or something like that.
Yeah, so that fear that you'll be a burden to the other person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing as him, so.
That's good, yeah. The common is, I think it's a very common fear. Yeah.
Rejection.
Yeah. Fear of rejection. I think that's probably the biggest. Yeah.
I think I become awkward in conversation. I think especially when the conversation's nearing like to a close and I'm like, I really don't know what to say. So I'm like fearing that they think I'm weird. Like, I don't know what to say. So they're just staring at me like, okay.
Right, like the awkwardness. And it's almost, sometimes it's almost hard to end a conversation than start a conversation.
Yeah.
So I agree. Yeah. The awkwardness.
Sometimes I think I might say something stupid or like something that just might tick them off that would make them not want to talk to me again. So I can be kind of nervous in that way.
Yeah, so you're kind of like, am I going to step on a landmine? The person's going to get upset because I don't know them. Yeah. Well,
just,
back there?
Just like kind of get scared that they're going to ask questions that I won't know the answers to. Mm-hmm. So then it's like I might like end up embarrassing myself.
Yeah. Is that fear of embarrassment? Do you don't have an answer to what they're asking? Yeah. Maybe, does anyone else have one last one here?
Like, you don't know what they're like?
Yeah, so you don't know what they're like?
Yeah, like, I don't know how to say this. Like, you don't know, like, how much you could relate to them or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really easy when we look at people. We're like, how in the world have I ever connected this person? It doesn't look like we have anything in common. Yeah, I think that's actually a really big one for people. Yeah, I think it's easy to make those assumptions. I think another one, too, can just be social norms. If you're ever out somewhere, and I've experienced this, especially like, I don't know, lines at Starbucks or things like that. It's like dead quiet. Sometimes no one's talking to each other, so it feels weird to talk to someone. So these are just some of the obstacles that you face. And they're very common, that fear of rejection, you know, what am I going to say to the other person? The social norms we face that kind of encourage us to stay inward, to stay in our bubble. But do you realize that the common denominator in almost all of these obstacles is us? So it's not actually the other person. And I would even say it's not actually our lack of skill, because in most areas that you're weak in, you can improve with training and practice. This is what we're doing in this breakout. I think the biggest obstacle for most of us, for me especially, it comes down to our lack of love for the people around us. That we love ourselves, our comfort, our reputation, our productivity more than we love our neighbor. When we take a look in your packet, you'll see 1 John 3:18, which says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So it's one thing to say that we love the people around us, but are we actually talking to them? And I love the quote at the top of your outline. This is really convicting for me. It says, "I feel the vacuum, the loneliness, the silence, the dehydration of the soul as people who want desperately to save our constitution, country, and planet still wander the streets without even knowing how to say hi to one another." So if you want to have an impact on the world around you and for God's kingdom, you have to value talking to strangers and actually do it. And we're going to unpack this more later, but if you really struggle with either the skill of talking to strangers or just the desire to, ask your designer for help. God wants to grow you in talking to strangers because it's how he designed you. So ask for his help. But now I want to transition us to unpacking the key truth I mentioned that helps us overcome these obstacles. And that's that God designed you to talk to strangers. And we're going to see that we're designed on a foundational level, a spiritual level, and a missional level to talk to new people. God's word calls us out of our personal bubble. Now take a look at point two, the design you were given. So first design is a foundational design. God made you to connect with people. So if you take a look in your packet, you'll see Genesis 2:18. And this is after God created Adam, the first man. The Bible tells us, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And this is actually the first time that God said something in all of his creation wasn't good. And if you keep reading on Genesis, after verse 18, God creates the first woman, Eve. God designed us to need relationships with other people. But under stress, I think a lot of us tend to withdraw from social situations, right? Especially ones with lots of new people. Maybe you even thought about not coming to fall conference this weekend because you felt stressed out about schoolwork or life, or even just being around hundreds of students you don't know. But the more we isolate ourselves, typically the more we struggle with mental health. I mean, have you ever noticed that as you back away from relationships and social events to get work done, you actually feel less happy and satisfied? Or maybe for you, maybe you tend to spend all of your time investing in online relationships or talking to AI chatbots instead of interacting with the people physically present around you. Or when you're in groups of people you don't know, you automatically pull out your phone. So you're surrounded by people, either online or in person, but you still feel lonely. You will find that you do not flourish when you isolate yourself from human interaction. And this is because God created you with a design. You were meant to move out and interact with the people around you. If you look at your packet, Proverbs 18:1 tells us, whoever isolates himself breaks out against all sound judgment. Wow. So, one way we can embrace God's design for us is to choose to engage with strangers. This is the path of flourishing. And I thought this was really interesting. Science and psychology, they actually back up God's wisdom. I should say God's wisdom backs them up. If you ever want a fun way to procrastinate, or maybe somehow you got all your work done, just Google benefits of talking to strangers, and you will be blown away by the amount of studies that show how beneficial it is to talk to people you don't know. And one study I came across, oh, it was so interesting, is an article for the Los Angeles Times. And it's called, Why Talking to Strangers is Good for Your Mental Health. And the author lays out how multiple studies prove that the amount of social interaction you have throughout your day is one of the most consistent predictors of your well-being. But you might be sitting here thinking, okay, I have my family, I've got my friends I talk to, so I'm good. I have all the relationships I need. But this article goes on to include a study by a PhD student at Harvard who studied the social interactions of 50,000 people and found that all of the people in that study had better physical, emotional, and mental health if they talked to a wider variety of people throughout their day. And this is not the only study to prove that. So what this means is that talking with a good friend over dinner helps you flourish, but so does talking to the barista at Starbucks you don't know. God actually designed you to need both types of interactions. God made you interact with a variety of people throughout the day, not just the ones that you know. And these studies show what Scripture has been saying all along. God's wisdom has been there all along. In Proverbs 11:25, in your packet, it says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So we don't just talk to strangers because we were designed that way, but because everyone else around us is also designed that way. So I appreciate the student who talked about the obstacle of worrying that you're going to be a burden if you talk to someone new. I think a lot of us struggle with that. I mean, do many of you assume like, oh, I'll be a burden if I go talk to that person? But the reality is that you are actually blessing them. You are helping them flourish in their God-given design. You're helping to improve their mental health and their well-being. You are showing God's grace to them, like we learned about this morning from Jordan. Talking to strangers is one of the best ways to love your neighbor as yourself, because you and everyone else around you were designed to talk to strangers. So while this truth is true on a foundational level, since we're all created by God, it's also true on a spiritual level. So let's take a look at subpoint two, spiritual design. So as a college freshman, when I would go to our large group fellowship meetings or really any social event, I was always concerned with two questions, right? First, how do I avoid feeling awkward? Because I hate feeling awkward. And two, who is going to talk to me at this social event? And so I'd go to different events on campus and fellowship events. But what I found is that I often hung back when I went to those things, and I would wait for people to come talk to me. And if no one did, I would often isolate myself. And I'd often leave events early, if I'm honest, because I believe that people didn't care about me. They didn't notice me. I didn't really consider how other people at that event might be feeling, or that there were probably other people at that event who were waiting for someone to come talk to them. Well, in college, the gospel came crashing through and challenged my self-focused view of my social interactions. And in particular, God really used 1 John chapter 4. So if you look in your packets, 1 John 4:10, which says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." So in this verse, if you notice, God is the one doing all the action. He takes the initiative. He sent his son to die for our sins. He doesn't wait for us to move toward him. He moves towards us. Like we learned last night, God's grace pursues us. And when we experience this kind of radical love and grace from God, it moves us outward. So if you look further down in 1 John 4, verse 11, in your packet, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us." As Jordan Eister put it this morning, we are the grace of God to one another. There's a quote in your packet. I really appreciate how Counselor Ed Welch puts it. He says, "Because we are relentlessly pursued, especially when we are not worthy of such pursuits, we also become pursuers. We turn toward others and move in their direction. That is how the kingdom of heaven works." So if you want to grow in talking to strangers, embrace your God-given spiritual design. Move towards strangers because God moved towards you first and brought you, a stranger, into his family. And if you aren't a Christian here today, I would really encourage you to see that God is pursuing you. I mean, he brought you to a Christian conference for a whole weekend. He is pursuing you. So while we're designed by God on a foundational level and a spiritual level to talk to strangers, it goes even deeper than that. It actually ties in really well with the talk this morning. God has also given us a mission to talk to strangers. So this is missional design. So our goal in talking to strangers is not just to make more friends or to feel better about ourselves. Our goal is to move toward others with the hope of the gospel. So if we take a look at Romans 15:7 in your packet, it says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." So while we want people to feel loved by us when we meet them, our even bigger goal is that they would know the love of Jesus. So this doesn't mean that we make people projects or that we necessarily share the full gospel in every conversation we have with a stranger, but that we are friendly with a godly purpose. So when my husband and I moved into our house a couple years ago, we went around with baked goods to meet our neighbors because we wanted to start building relationships with them that would hopefully lead to spiritual conversations. What's amazing, God has worked powerfully over the years so that from those initial conversations, a number of our neighbors have come to church with us. We've gotten to have gospel conversations. It's been incredible to see the work that God's doing in our neighborhood. Because what the gospel has been doing for my husband and I is that it's been moving us from a "here I am" mentality, but it's all about me, to a "there you are" mentality. I want to care for you. So instead of thinking about yourself and your interests, God begins to help you think about other people and their interests. Because previous times my husband and I moved, we would wait for our neighbors to bring things to us. But God challenged us that we needed to move toward our neighbors, whether or not they moved towards us first. This images the pursuing love of God. So what if at your next fellowship meeting or Bible study or club meeting, you went in thinking, "Who can I talk to instead of who will talk to me. When we approach talking to strangers this way, it becomes an exciting adventure to see where God is at work. You were designed at a missional level to talk to strangers. But you might be sitting here thinking, okay, this all sounds good, but I'm not actually a Christian, so I don't have the last two designs. And you know what? You're right. You can definitely grow in talking to strangers. Anyone can. But you won't be able to do it with a purpose beyond yourself. And if you get rejected by the person you're talking to, because it happens, it may crush you because you don't have an identity outside of yourself. And you might even find that over time, you may even harden your heart to talking to new people, and you begin to not even engage with strangers at all. Only Jesus can give you a deeper purpose to talk to strangers, the right motivation to talk to them, and a profound mission that is not dependent on how the other person responds. And Jesus is offering to bring you, a stranger, into his family. Like we learned this morning, he wants to give you a new name, brother, sister. And so I encourage you to stop being a stranger to Jesus and become a part of his family. He's already moved towards you on the cross. He brought you here this weekend. He's pursuing you. And if you already believe in Jesus out there, you don't have to fear rejection when you talk to strangers, because Jesus gives you a secure identity as a child of God. And that can't be taken away no matter how people respond to you. So you get to go out and be Jesus' ambassadors to the people around you. So we've seen that God has designed us on a foundational level, a spiritual level, and a missional level to talk to strangers. So if talking to strangers is truly our design, how do we do it? Well, I want to end our time by going over some practical ways to strike up conversations. And then we're going to spend a good bit of time practicing these skills, right? So we're going to go over the practicals. I'm going to practice on some of you, and then you're going to practice on each other. All right, so get ready. Here we go. The first practical way that you can live out your design is to pray. Okay, this might sound a bit like a cop-out practical. You know, if I'm praying, I'm not actually talking to strangers. But prayer shows our dependence on God. I think we all need help in this area. And I often have to pray and ask God for help to open up a conversation with someone, because I'm too scared or I don't know what to say or how to start. And so this actually happened to me just this past Sunday. So I was sitting at a picnic table by a lake near my house. I was reading, and an older man sat down at the picnic table next to mine. And I knew God was nudging me to start a conversation with him, but I had no idea how to start. And so I'm praying, Lord, I know what you want me to do, but I don't know how to start. I don't know how to start talking to him. I was like, you're going to have to help me. I swear to you, I didn't even probably barely finish that prayer when all of a sudden this man calls out, hey, what are you reading? Well, it actually worked out really well because I was studying a passage in Colossians in the Bible. So I told him that, and this started a whole conversation. It was so great. We talked about the Bible, when our faith became real to us, the challenges we're facing as a Christian. And I'm always amazed at how God answers my prayers when I ask him for help with talking to strangers. That is not the first time. I have many crazy stories of how God's answered. And so pray and ask for help. God wants to help you. And to help you pray, I printed out a part of a liturgy. It's just a, kind of like a scripted prayer that you can take with you. And then I actually want to take some time to pray now. This is actually a shortened version of that prayer. If you want to see the full thing, it's an awesome prayer. You can find it online. I'm going to give you like a minute or two right now to pray. You can either use that prayer on that card, just pray your own prayer to God. Talk to God about how hard it is to talk to strangers and ask for his help. Ask for him to give you a desire to talk to strangers. So let's pray. Just pray silently and then I'll bring you back in a minute or two. All right, I'm going to bring us back here. We have some time to pray. And those cards are for you to take with you. Feel free to hold on to it. Read through it. I thought it was awesome. They had a prayer about feeling awkward in social situations. I'm like, this is awesome. That's how I feel. So yeah, hopefully that's just a helpful tool to help you pray to God. So pray. Anytime you help, just pray and ask God. So first practical is pray. I'm going to go through some of our next practical methods. Our next practical is to find common ground. So it should be there on the third point under your outline. Methods, find common ground. So this, what this means is you share an observation about something that you and another person are experiencing. So maybe tonight you're in that long line for dinner and you're next to a person you don't know. So you got a lot of time to talk to them. And you could say something like, I really enjoyed walking around downtown Harrisburg this afternoon. And then you want to share something that's related to what you just said. So then you could follow up by saying, our campus went to this really fun taco place for lunch. And now you want to ask the other person a question. You're going to invite them into the conversation. Say, where did you guys go for lunch? So you just share an observation, share something about yourself that's related to the observation, and then ask a question. So it's especially great at events like this. We're all kind of experiencing the same thing. So find common ground. The next method is to offer a compliment with a question. So I had a lady at a coffee shop a few weeks ago sit down next to me, look at my shoes, and say, I really like your shoes. Where did you get them? And then we had a whole conversation about where we buy shoes. So you can offer a compliment with a question. The next method is observe people and their surroundings. So at fall conference, a lot of people, I see some out there, they wear apparel from their college. So you could start by asking them, oh, I see your Kutztown t-shirt back there. What's your favorite part of your school? So observe people and their surroundings. This is actually what the man did with me on Sunday. He saw that I was reading. She was asked like, hey, what are you reading? So observe people and their surroundings. The next practical is to pick up on free information. So this is where you can start a conversation by building on something someone said that wasn't directly addressed to you, but that you were privy to, that you heard. I actually did this before our workshop started. There are two students up here talking. And I overheard the one say that he usually enjoys talking to new people. And I was like, oh, I heard you enjoy talking to new people. It's like, tell me more. Or maybe for you guys, maybe last night at your small group time, I don't know, maybe you went around in icebreaker and shared highs and lows of your semester. And there's a student that you didn't know very well, and they shared about a low. And so today, you go up and follow up with them and say, hey, I remember you sharing that your low was how stressful the semester's been. So what classes have been stressing you out the most? So just pick up on free information. Obviously, not in like a creepy way, but more of like, if it makes sense that you would have heard what they said, you can pick up on free information. The next method is ask for an opinion. This works really great if you're out and about. I often ask baristas, what drink do you recommend here? Or if I'm clothes shopping by myself, I have asked strangers, what do you think of this outfit? And they give me their honest opinion. And sometimes it starts a conversation. So you can ask for an opinion. The next method, and this is actually one of my favorites, is think through questions ahead of time, especially before you go to events. I found this really helps cut back on the fear of what to say to people. And so often before events, I try to think of questions that almost anyone could answer. So for fall conference, I thought of questions like, where are you from? What's your favorite part of your hometown? What's been your best and worst class so far this semester? What do you like about your campus? What do you not like about your campus? I even find this helpful to do before I go to church. So I have some questions in my back pocket that I could probably ask anyone that I interact with. And then the last practical method, if all else fails, just introduce yourself. This works way better than you think it would. I found this works especially well at places where people gather, like church, fellowship meetings, classes, clubs. And literally just go up to someone and say, I don't think I met you before. My name's Maria. What's your name? And then you use one of the other tools to start a conversation. That's usually where then I'll use a question I've thought through ahead of time. And I did this at church on Sunday with a woman I didn't know. She was about ready to walk out the door. And I was like, I have no idea how else to start a conversation with her. So I just went up and said, hi, my name is Maria. What's your name? And then I asked her if she lives in the area. And we had a whole conversation. She actually came back in the church lobby. We had a whole conversation about how she'd recently moved to the area. So you can always just introduce yourself. And I do want to say, I want to be honest that sometimes conversations will be awkward. I know someone mentioned that as an obstacle. Sometimes it will be awkward. I've had many moments of awkwardness. Or you might find the other person isn't interested in having a conversation. And that's okay. It's totally normal. But I love what one of my coworkers says, that success is taking the initiative and letting the results up to God. So it's not in your control how the other person responds. Success is taking the initiative. It's being obedient to God and then letting the results up to God. It's up to God how he chooses to work. So just want to take some of that pressure off. It's okay if things are awkward or weird. Just take a step towards strangers. But I want to practice on some brave volunteers who I asked ahead of time. I have never met these students before other than to ask them if I could practice on them. And I'll be honest, it could be awkward, at least on my end. And if it is, it's all on me because I don't think I've ever met a stranger in front of like this many strangers. So usually, yeah, just like in the hallway or something. So I'm going to call up our first volunteer. And when I do this, the conversation I'm going to keep them pretty short to keep moving. But after I talk to them, I'm going to ask you what tools I used to start the conversation or even to keep it going. Okay. So we'll have our mic runners again, but I'm going to call up our first volunteers up here who graciously agreed. I don't even know their names. I'm like, I just have to point them out. Hi. Say, so I see your Shippensburg sweatshirt. I see him. Do you go to Shippensburg?
Yeah, hold on.
Oh. Oh, give me a mic. Oh, give her. Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Well, we'll start. I was like, I'm like doubly mic. Okay. Let's see it. See, he says, you never know what'll happen. You talk to strangers. Okay. We'll start over. Okay. I was like, I see your Shippensburg sweatshirt. Do you go to Shippensburg?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. What's your favorite part of Shippensburg?
I'm from Chambersburg and I really like the commute there and back. I like the closeness of it. Okay. And I like the campus.
Oh, I like that. What's like your favorite part of campus? Like the whole campus?
I really like the library. It's really nice. And they have a Starbucks in the library.
Wow. Girl, why didn't I get a Shippensburg? Okay. No, that's awesome because I was a library science major. So I love that the library is your favorite place. I was like, that's so exciting. I love it. How far do you live from campus?
Like 20 minutes in Chambersburg.
Okay. So it's a good distance, like far, but not too far.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Also, I'm Maria, by the way. I should say.
I'm Caitlin. Nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you, Caitlin. I don't think I give Caitlin a hand. That's very brave. All right, so I should probably get this mic back to the mic runner. Sorry, I'm making you run. What tools or methods did I use to help meet Caitlin? Either meet her or keep the conversation going. Up here, yeah, good.
Oop, hold on. Say it again.
You observed her outfit.
Yeah, I observed her outfit, yes. You made it easy. I was like, I appreciate when people wear their college apparel.
You complimented her shirt.
Yeah, I complimented her shirt, yeah. And some of they all go hand in hand, yeah. Because you're complimenting someone, you're observing them. Yeah.
You asked many open-ended questions, sir.
Yeah. Cute. Just asking open-ended questions to keep the conversation going. Yeah, like, what's your favorite part of campus? Yeah.
You found common ground. She said she likes the library, and you said that you were a library science major.
Yeah, I found common ground. Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's actually something that I've been learning as God's been growing me and talking to strangers, is that it's really good to ask questions. But it's also good to share yourself. So it's good to find that balance between I want to learn about them, but I also don't want to make it seem like an interrogation where I'm just asking question after question. And being able to connect on some point. I'm like, oh, we actually have like a good bit in common. It's like, and man, the Starbucks and library. I was like, that's amazing. Like, that's like a dream come true for me. I was like, it's like two favorite things. Like, this is great. All right, I'm going to call up our next volunteer. There's a gentleman right there. Come on up. My real trick is that can I remember your names later? Is this my? All right. Got you a mic this time. All right. I'm sorry. Make sure. All right. So I'll give you the mic here.
Oh. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good. Okay. Hey, we're sounding good. Yeah. Just hold it up there. All right. All good. I really like your cross necklace. Where did you get it?
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah. I ordered it from Amazon. I broke my first one.
Amazon.
Yeah.
There's so many people I talked to lately that have been buying stuff on Amazon.
I know. It's so cheap. Yeah.
So cheap.
I broke my first one though, but it was a gift from my dad.
Oh. First one was?
Yeah. Yeah. Not, I felt really bad, but now I have this one.
I like that. How did your first one break?
You ever like swing something? Like,
Yeah.
I just slipped out. Yeah.
Just slipped out.
Yeah. Okay. Couldn't find it.
Oh, man. Well, that's a good replacement. I like that
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm Maria.
Hi. I'm Harvey Harvison.
Harvey Harvison.
Yeah.
That's such a cool name.
Thank you.
Oh, I
Thank
love you. That. It's like similar. First name, last name.
Yeah.
I like that. And it looks like you go to Bucknell
yes.
University.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What made you choose Bucknell?
It was a good balance between like education and price, and I really like it here. Right. Now I do.
Now you do. Did it take a while?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I found out they have therapy dogs, so yeah.
That really helps.
Yeah.
It's like God knows who you really need therapy dogs. So. Yeah. Well, it's great to meet you, Harvey. Oh,
thanks for talking to me.
I appreciate it. All right. You, Harvey. I feel like I should have brought like a gift for those who had to come up here. All right. So what methods did I use with Harvey? Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I offered a compliment with a question. That was a really cool cross necklace. I got a great story in return. I was like, this is great. Yeah.
I like the question, like, what made you choose Bucknell? I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, so the more the open-ended questions, yeah. Because everyone has a unique path of how God got them to the college they're at. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, wait, is it me? Okay. you observed his cross necklace and made a question out of that.
Yes, yep. Thank you. That's awesome. All right. I have one last volunteer. Brave volunteer, yes, in the back. And this is going to be your turn, so get ready. Correct. Okay, you got the mic?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious, what area are you from?
Hi, I'm from Elizabethtown. It's like 20 minutes from Lancaster.
Yeah, I know Elizabethtown. That's awesome. I've been to Elizabethtown's Fair.
Yes.
Have you ever been there?
Yes, like I go at least one time every single year.
Wow. Okay. What's your favorite food at the fair?
I feel like funnel cake is kind of like the default option, but it's so good.
So good. I know. I was hard for me to decide what food to buy there.
There's too many options because I'm like, okay, tacos, empanadas, funnel cake, diabetes, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's only once a year. So
exactly.
I don't know. Well, I'm intrigued. You say you're from Elizabethtown, but you go to Aubrey College. So what made you choose Aubrey instead of like Elizabethtown?
Yeah, I felt like it was a good distance from home. So it was like, I can go away, but I can still like go home on the weekends if I have to. And it was like good financial aid, good like environment on campus.
That's like a lot of good factors that like went into that. Like,
yes.
Financial aid, distance, probably nice to be away a little bit.
Exactly.
Great family. That's all. But I'm Maria.
Hi, I'm Emma.
Emma, nice to meet you.
Yes, you too.
Well, thank you for volunteering, Emma. I appreciate it. That's fun that you're from Elizabethtown. But I appreciate it. I'm going to ask them what methods we used real quick. I realize I need to give you guys time to practice. Thank you, Emma. All right. So what methods do I use to meet Emma? Yeah. Oh, I'll give you this mic. Here you go.
Hello. Okay. Yeah. You found your common interest of Elizabethtown Fair.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you started talking about food. So I feel like everyone likes food.
Yes. Linwood. Yeah, do you find that if you ever are like at a meal with people and you're like, I don't know what to talk about, just bring up the topic of food. People have lots of opinions and thoughts. It's great. Yeah, food's always a good topic. And it worked out well that I happen to know that area. Like I've been to that fair and usually, at least from what I've heard, a lot of people in Elizabethtown go to the Elizabethtown Fair. Oh, yeah, that's really good. Anything else? All right, you guys want to practice on each other. Okay. Well, we'll move on then, so I'll make sure you get to lunch. All right, so next we're going to do is I'm going to have you practice with each other. So I'm going to give you some quick instructions. I'm going to let you go and practice. So if you take a look at page 24 in your packet, you'll notice two small talk chains at the bottom of that page. And for the next few minutes, you're going to find someone you don't know, and you're going to practice these skills and practice talking to them. At some point, try and say each other's names so you get your names. Feel free to use the questions in that first small talk chain. If you really don't like them, feel free to ask your own questions. That's totally fine. If this feels really scary to you, feel free to bring a friend with you, or you can even just sit and observe the conversations around you. But I really encourage you that if you can, to get up and talk to a stranger. God is with you. He will help you. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm going to say ready, set, go, and I'll give you a few minutes. You're going to get up and find someone you don't know at all and talk to them, okay? Using that first small talk chain, all right? Ready, set, go. Okay, so that wasn't so bad, was it? I saw a lot of smiles. Our photographer's like, wow, everyone's smiling. And she got a lot of good pictures. So it's really not that bad, is it? Yeah, you guys all look happier. Hopefully your mental health is better. So it actually really is. It can be a real source of joy and blessing to talk to strangers. But you can talk to strangers because God welcomed you, a stranger, into his family. It's what he did with Saul this morning. God designed you at a foundational level, a spiritual level, and a missional level to talk to people you don't know. So I encourage you to keep getting to know the person that you just met during the rest of the conference and make it a goal to try and meet at least one other new person before you leave tomorrow. I mean, you're surrounded by hundreds of them. Cool. And when you go back to campus next week, enter a room thinking, who can I talk to instead of who will talk to me? And I can guarantee you that you will find greater joy in life and greater delight in Jesus as you talk to people you don't know. So let's break the cultural norms and start talking to strangers. I'm going to pray, and then you guys can go to lunch, all right? Dear Jesus, we come before you, and Jesus, we're just blown away by your grace that you would bring strangers like us, people who were your enemies, and bring us into your family, people like Saul, people like me, people like Mark, Lord, that you pursue us and you bring us to yourself, Jesus. I pray that we would image that same pursuing love you've shown us to the people around us by talking to strangers. Would you grow us in boldness and a heart of love for those around us, Jesus? And we need your help. Lord, this has not come naturally to us. We need your Holy Spirit to help us. And so we pray for your help today. We ask this in your name. Amen.